Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And a very blessed Lent to you and yours. Lent begins today. For those who are unaware, it is Ash Wednesday. In addition to being Valentine's Day, it is Ash Wednesday, which begins our journey towards the Triduum, our journey towards Easter. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our number, 888-318-7884. This hour, the chaplain is in. Our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, Norbertine. Wait, you say canon, right? Is that
canon, right? Yeah.
Norbertine canon from St. Michael's.
Canon, not monk, not friar, canon.
Yeah. The canon's better. It's very macho.
It sounds that way, yeah.
Yeah. our chaplain now, former prior at St. Michael's Abbey up in Orange County. Thank you, Father, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And thank you for all you did for us this morning. You did distribute a lot of ashes.
A lot of ashes. We had a packed chapel.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see that mine are it's not unintentional, Father. I just am constantly touching my face. And
no, well, our Lord says not to try to look like you're fasting, so it's okay.
So
if it
still there?
It's all right. See, and the priest, you put it on top of your head.
You did that
so
today.
You can't see it on me because I put it there, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was also nice that a lot of Catholic Answers families were there.
And the first reading, the reading from Joel, it said the babies at the breast and everything.
Oh, right.
They were all there. And they don't need to do penance, but they're reminding us of innocence. So it's a beautiful thing.
That's right. Yeah. And some got ashes. Some I saw spurned you. They were like,
I don't give ashes to children who are below the age of reason because they don't need to do penance.
No.
Okay.
No, they like it though. Some of them like it.
But Dad. No one looked like he was or
a real
troubled
sinner.
Like,
yeah.
It was okay. We just give it to the sinners, like five and above.
You know? Yeah. My daughter sent me a text and she said that Walgreens, she was in Walgreens for some reason. She goes, hey, Walgreens is celebrating Ash Wednesday with boxes of chocolate and heart-shaped cards. And she goes, they're really in the spirit. So I don't remember the last time St. Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday were the same day.
Well, it's kind of funny because actually, if you consider the ancient tradition of the church, the fasting of Lent was from animal products and sweets were not forbidden.
Oh, really?
As long as you didn't eat animal products.
Oh.
And so the old recipes for Lent were like semolina with lots of sugar and honey and jam and stuff like that and chocolate. So I don't want to corrupt anybody, but let's just say if you're willing to give out animal products, then you can have all the sweets you want.
Yeah.
Honey is like honey in the Eastern Rite. Honey is like a perfectly decent Lenten food. It's okay.
Maybe because meats were luxuries then, really. I mean,
it's more the animal products. It's more the, that's why we have Mardi Gras, because it's the fat stuff. It's butter, eggs, cheese that people ate all the time. They had to give those up during Lent. And we say we give up meat, but actually in the tradition it was all animal products. And if you consider it, it's more of a penance to give up all those things than to give up meat. So
I see. Yeah.
But we kind of became weak and over time, and so there you are.
I'm a spiritual athlete.
Talk to the Chaldean Catholics, the Maronite Catholics, the Byzantine Catholics. They'll tell you all about how we're really supposed to do it.
They do more heftier penances.
Heavy lifting, right. Lentils, you know, all that kind of stuff. Exactly.
Well, the Mass that begins Lent, or the first reading of the Mass, it's very striking. Now is the acceptable – how is it? The prophet Joel begins, now is the acceptable
now
time.
Now acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, right?
Yeah. That's a wonderful way to begin something.
Well, now is always the best place to start for everything.
You don't think it's about the
– We don't have any other choices. You can't pick – you know, before and you can't pick after. Now is it, you know.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I remain in God's image, because it's all now.
As I said, Chaplain is in. If you have questions of a pastoral nature, if there are maybe family issues, issues in your prayer life, sacramental life that you would like to discuss with our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. Before we do go to those calls, though, Father, for the person who doesn't know what we Catholics are about at all, and many times that's us as Catholics, I mean, what are we doing at Lent? Why are we giving things up? Why are we fasting and penancing? And what is all this?
If you consider our human nature, it's meant to lay hold of God and the things of God as freely as possible, and so therefore as amply as possible. And we all know that when we're attached to certain things that affect our sense life, we can be a little stingy or lacking in generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that with children, with adults who don't want to give up what they're doing right now because they don't want to do something else for somebody else. You know, like I used an example this morning of like a child who just wants to come to dinner because he's watching the TV or something like that. And so it's really a question of giving up things that will distract you from the full possession of the good things that God has in store for those who love him. So we abstain from certain pleasures so that we can actually pray and desire things that are far greater. And So it's a little reminder. It's like a little spur that we should be desiring something better than what we actually typically, habitually seek in a day to day.
Yeah. It reminds me of something Pope John Paul said once about our no is always in the service of our yes. That the reason we say no is so that we can say yes.
Absolutely. Because there's something positive on the other side of the renunciation always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Father Hugh Barber, our guest this hour, I think maybe we should try to get a call in before the break.
Okay,
all right.
Great.
All right. Let's start with Donna in Nebraska, listening on KVSS Spirit Catholic Radio. Donna, you are on with Father Hugh Barber. Your question, please.
Hi.
Hello, Donna.
Maybe this isn't hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks.
Good. I guess after I called in before I heard what the topic was going to be, questions on a pastoral nature. So maybe this doesn't really apply, but my question is, it probably doesn't. So I don't know if you can answer it or
it's
not.
It's going to be fine, Donna.
It'd be fine.
We're
Donna,
happy to be talking
you're
with
okay.
you.
Okay, we're talking to you.
Okay. On evolution, are there any parts of evolution? I'm contemplating having my child take this. We homeschool. And I'm contemplating having my child take this class in the local high school on biology, and they talk about evolution. And I've read somewhat about evolution, and I know a little bit about it, but I guess are there any parts of it, evolution, that are acceptable to the church's teaching? So when I go look at the book at the high school, I can be somewhat informed about as to what to look out for, and will this be okay?
Yeah, that's fine. John Paul II, you know, spoke of how there's more than one possible theory of evolution, and what we have to maintain with our children is simply this: that there is a clear distinction between the material order, the order of bodies that are material, and the spiritual order of souls that are the forms of bodies in terms of human beings that give those bodies life. And so evolution is not as big a problem as you might imagine, simply because the design of God is from the beginning that material creation should be enlivened and elevated by a spiritual substance. And that ultimately that's the human soul leading everything under it, the whole material universe, towards God in a spiritual soul that can direct by knowledge and love all of its experience to the one who made it. So I think that the key there is that they can learn any theory or any particular perspective that's available, but we need to maintain very clearly that there's a distinction between the order of mere materiality and corporeal or bodily nature and a spiritual soul. And that's the part that science cannot investigate directly, because there's no way to examine or consider a simple soul, whereas you can examine or consider a body with its different parts and constitution. So,
how does that strike you, Donna?
Yeah, that is similar to what I read. I looked it up on Catholic Answers.
Well, there you are.
Excellent choice.
Good choice.
The distinction between material and the soul. So as long as the soul is, God is the creator of everything, so he starts everything. So as long as that's true, I mean, that's what, and that it's not, that we don't just come about randomly, and then, and then the soul is put into the individual in a single instant. It doesn't develop.
Right, exactly. That's the key element, is that the Catholic view of human nature is non-evolutionary from the point of view that God has to create directly and immediately and infuse into the body the rational or spiritual soul. And that is not something that any theory of evolution can handle, and we just simply have to assert that as part of our faith.
Donna,
otherwise, it's okay.
Donna, thank you very much for the call. That's actually a great call to start with today.
Yeah,
and a couple pieces of information for you. One is we're having a conference this summer, it's in September. It's on faith and science. It's the Catholic Answers National Conference, and the topic is faith and science. And that will be available via internet for a certain price. I would like to make it available to you and your family. So would you just leave your information with the call screener? Just stay on the line. We'll get your information. And then your family can watch via the internet the lectures that will be given there. The second thing is, one of the people there will be Dr. Stacy Trusankos, a wonderful theologian and chemist. And her website is something you might want to visit. It's just stacytrusankos.com, and Trusankos is TrasAncos. StacyTrusankos.com. Donna, thanks for the call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. The Chaplain is in on this Ash Wednesday here at Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Barron. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they each found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous time in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a good place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
A very blessed beginning of Lent to you. Thank you so much for being with us on this Ash Wednesday. We're very pleased to be with you. Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the preparations for Good Friday and Easter. Easter will be what? What is it, Father? 46 days from now?
Yeah, April 1st.
Oh,
all the happy fools for Christ. Fools for Christ on Easter will all be enjoying ourselves.
Yeah. Great. This is a really interesting Lent. We start on Valentine's Day and end up, but you know what? We didn't mention a very important thing about today, Father. We neglected to mention that it's not just St. Valentine's Day or Ash Wednesday. It's the feast of Saint
Cyril and Methodius, but you're Cyril of Alexandria.
I just take them all.
Which Cyril are you?
I have no. I'm named after my grandfather.
Okay,
so
I mean, Cyril and Methodius. Okay, but that's good enough.
Cyril and Methodius. Any Cyril you want.
Cyril is Jerusalem. There in Rome in the beautiful church of. It's right there.
Really?
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So that's important.
San Clemente. He's buried in the crypt there.
I gotta go to Rome.
Methodius is in Moravia in Czechoslovakia, but. Your patron is there in Rome.
Yeah, my assistant patron is Methodius. Were they brothers? Is that right? Cyril and Methodius?
Yeah.
They were brothers? All right. It's the chaplain is in today. And lots of questions of a pastoral nature. Lots of folks on the line, so I want to proceed there. If you have a question of a pastoral nature that you would like addressed, question about your prayer life, sacraments, family, relationships, all that, it is all welcome. We go now to Brian in Lexington, Kentucky, who I know is very smart because he's got the Catholic Answers app on his phone, and that's how he's listening. Brian, your question for Father.
Hey, Cy, and Father Hugh.
Hey, Brian.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Happy to, Brian.
Okay, so I'm a convert to Catholicism. I do want to just say real quick thank you for all that you do. Your show, and especially you, Father, I listen to you every time that you come on, and I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Glad you're happy.
So my question is in regards to I'm a sponsor in 12-step programs.
Uh-huh.
So I help guys, you know, get through the 12 steps.
Right.
Various different programs, and my question is about the fifth step, which is the step where we admit to ourselves, to another human being, and to God, the exact nature of our wrongs.
Exactly.
And sometimes I find that I'm working with another Catholic and then sometimes non-Catholics. My question is, what is the difference in, it's like the sacrament of reconciliation. I get that, but it's not really because I'm not a priest, obviously. How can I know, this is the gist of my question here, how can I know that God's grace is working in both situations, that of, you know, working with the Catholic who may or may not be practicing his faith, and then that of the non-Catholic who doesn't really even have, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation to go to? What assurances are there, and what are the theological reasons behind them? Thank you.
Okay, well, in terms of the assurances, we can take a little tag from St. Thomas Aquinas himself, who knew all about the sacrament of penance and how it works and everything. But he says, in the case of someone who's dying, that if they can't find a priest, then you can counsel them or encourage them just to confess to any layperson. Now, that is an extreme case, but it gives us the principle. That is that confession, the outward expression of the sins you've committed and your sorrow for them, is of such value that even if you couldn't find a priest in a difficult situation, you should be willing to tell somebody, of course. And that goes back to the basic Catholic principle. Why do we confess our sins explicitly to the priest? We could go to the priest and say, I'm sorry for all my sins. I am sorry because I've offended God who loves me above all things, and I love him above all things, and so on and so on and so on. But we confess the specific sins. The reason that we confess them is that we can guarantee or solidify or increase or perfect our sorrow for our sins. And so The fact is, if someone is willing to enunciate, to speak the wrongs they have done to another human being, that is probably the clearest proof of their sorrow and of their desire to amend their lives. So I would say there's nothing more certain or more encouraging than the fact of confession to justify the sinner. So whether they're Catholic or not, if they're willing to say it, then that's a very great grace that God has given them. So I would just say that's the key there, is that what we want in the sacrament of penance is the forgiveness of God, but we want also the oral confession to guarantee or to encourage or to increase or perfect our particular sorrow for our sins and our desire to amend our life.
Right.
Very.
Okay, yeah, Brian.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
So, you know, obviously I asked this question because I've worked with a lot of, you know, fallen away Catholics, but I've seen like changes come over people.
Absolutely.
When they do that with some, when they do that fifth step with another person, whether it be me or somebody else.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, I kind of want to, you know, push him back into the church a little bit, like, hey, you should really do this here. But what you're saying is that there is grace that's coming to them.
It's not just without a doubt. And I think what you can do is you can actually say, well, you know, because taking from what I said from St. Thomas, this person is confronting death because if they continue their addiction, they're going to die. So they're confessing to another lay person, but they could confess to a priest. And if they're Catholic, you can certainly do a fifth step with a priest who's knowledgeable. There's no problem there. And you can encourage them to do that. But sometimes it's a little difficult. They go through that whole process, and then it's like, now I have to do it again with somebody else. And so as a Catholic, you could teach them, no, you don't have to go into all the detail that you went to with me, but you can just talk about the sins you committed that are serious and how many times and all that, so that they're not repeating the same experience, you know, if you know what I mean. So you could give them a little direction in that regard if they're Catholics.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you,
God
Brian.
Bless, peace.
We appreciate that call. Again, our number, 888-318-7884. Let's see if we can get to you're going to have to help me. Is it Giselle in North Texas listening on AM 910?
Yes,
Giselle? Okay. Giselle, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Yes. I was trying to find out, what's the practice of saying, like the specific Jesus of the Rosary, say the joyful mysteries during Advent or the sorrowful mysteries during Lent every day during that liturgical season? Where does that come from, and do we truly need to follow that practice?
Well, first of all, you don't have to follow that strictly, because the ideal for the Rosary would be that someone would say the whole thing every day. That was what St. Dominic, St. Louis de Montfort, and the other promoters, Blessed Alan de la Roche and all those, they wanted everyone to say the whole rosary every day. So they would have said joyful, sorrowful, glorious, and now we have the luminous mysteries every single day. But if you're following the liturgy, there are accommodations that have been traditional where, you know, on Sundays of Lent, you say the sorrowful mysteries. On Sundays of Easter, you say the glorious mysteries. On Sundays of Advent, you say the joyful mysteries, but there's absolutely no requirement to maintain those traditions. You can pray the rosary. You can meditate on any mysteries that you want to. It's entirely up to you. But there are those traditions, especially as related to common recitation. When you're praying with other people, it's sort of appropriate that you might mark the season. But if you're on your own, it's perfectly fine to pray however you want.
Giselle, thank you very, very much for that call. It is, I was going to say open forum, but it is kind of, I mean, people can ask you whatever they want. You're
right,
never fussy
exactly.
with them. They can ask
no.
whatever they want. But we say the chaplain isn't in. If there are, you have questions of a chaplainish nature that require a chaplain, we welcome that call this hour, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. James in Arkansas watching on YouTube, thank you for calling. We might have to do one of those where you just give us the question and we get the answer on the other side. Let's see how we do. James, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Yeah, my question is, are we just supposed to pray to Mary for intercession for things, or are we supposed to, like, have a personal relationship with her where she answers back to us and speaks to us and everything else?
Great question. Of course, just think about it. You know, when you ask someone for a favor, you're asking someone whom you know or has a reason to do good to you. And so someone whom you love or from whom you expect good things. So I would say, yes, when we pray to Mary, the point of that relationship, the point of the asking for intercession is actually the relationship that follows from it. Just like with your mother, you know, she gives you dinner, but what's really important about the dinner is that it's your mother who loves you and gives you dinner. And so you ask Our Lady for something, it's great, but what you really want is a relationship with her. So it's all about friendship in Christ, and she's willing to give it to you.
James, thank you so much for that question. Wow, you guys did it. You took that. We got that question and answer in. Hello to Tobias in Kenya and anybody else who would like to call and be on with Father Hugh. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Chaplain is in today. We're taking questions of a pastoral nature. We'll do more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, "Tell me about the Catholic Church."
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Again, a blessed beginning to Lent to you and your family. It is Ash Wednesday today. You see folks out. If you're not a Catholic and you're like, why do they have those black smudges or black cross-looking things on their foreheads? Because it's Ash Wednesday. And by the way, you don't have to be Catholic to get ashes. If you would like to have ashes to begin your Lenten journey, you can go to a Catholic church. And is that shocking what I just said, Father?
It's fine. It's perfect.
Are you sure that it's not shocking?
It's perfect. Fine.
Okay. Sometimes I have the urge just to be at the Intercontinental Hotel, Praha Hotel in Prague. I don't know why. It just comes over me.
It's a beautiful.
With a bowl of ashes?
No, I just have the feeling I want to be at the Intercontinental Praha Hotel in Prague. Oh, Chris Cech, our president, is here.
Oh, there he is.
Talk about the cruise, which will be going through Prague.
I'm really hungry right now.
Does he get the graces if he complains about the fasting?
No, he can complain all he wants. He gets the graces anyway.
Oh, okay. God is good.
Praise God. Amen. My smudge is almost worn away. I should get it refilled before the end of the day. They used to give, I don't know if they still do, but St. Agnes in Manhattan, the priest from St. Agnes would go down to Grand Central Station and distribute ashes. Mm.
Father seems less than impressed with our innovations in the ash department.
It's fine. I go along with everything. Now that I'm chaplain here, I'm
you really had to lower the bar.
No, not lowering the bar. I didn't say that. I'm happy to. You want me to give ashes? I'll do it. You know?
Sigh.
Yes, sir.
I have these three rooms left.
I know.
And they've kind of been stuck there.
Yes, I know.
And I don't know what it is I need to say.
The potential rooms.
All your beer and wine is covered. For me, that was it.
For you, that's I signed up. That's right. Worth the price.
Yeah. So, no, this Catholic Answers cruise on the Danube, we've chartered the entire boat, the Emma Serena. It's a brand new boat, 2 years old. This is a cut above, several cuts above Viking. Vienna, Bratislava, Budapest, starts in Budapest on the 8th of June. Father Hugh Barber, Archbishop Alexander Sample, Trent Horn, and yours truly. All the shore excursions are covered. Boats exclusively Catholic Answers. This is a cruise like we've never done before. They even have bicycles. And I don't mean to embarrass Father Hugh here. We are fortunate to have him along because he is deeply connected in the Danube River Valley in Central Europe and has arranged for us to see some things that otherwise we would not have seen. Right, Father?
What, Father? Yes. What?
For example, like in Vienna, we have the great imperial and royal abbey of Klosterneuburg, where we venerate St. Leopold and the patron of the region, something which normally people don't see. We'll be well treated there. Bizikonfers know us, and there's something there which in general, if you just do a tour on a bus around the city, you're not going to see the ancient history of the Catholicity of Vienna. It's all right there. So that's one thing. When we get on to the rest of the trip, we have the shrine of Maria Plein near Salzburg, which is a great Marian shrine, not well known. Because, you know, we modern Catholics, we know about apparitions. We know about Lourdes and Fatima and so on. But Catholic Europe is filled with these beautiful Marian shrines that are very ancient, that have their own stories, and are places of pilgrimage and of great grace. And we're going to make a pilgrimage there with a Mass with Archbishop Sample in the Shrine of Maria Plein, for which Mozart wrote his famous coronation Mass. So look it up and listen to it. And many other things as well. The Monastery of Strahov with the Shrine of St. Norbert, the founder of my order, right there. He was moved from Magdeburg to Prague in the Reformation so that Catholics could venerate him and the Protestants wouldn't ignore him. And so many other places, it's so many Catholic things of Catholic interest that it's hard to list all of them.
And if you just, folks, if you just took this cruise, if you just signed up with Emma or with Viking or something to do the Danube cruise, you would see a lot of beautiful sights, but you would not be taken to many of these sites of Catholic importance,
right, exactly.
Nor would you be given the understanding of them,
right,
that because Father Hugh is with us, you're going to get. So, well, it is true. It is true. And we've added on now the optional 3 days in Prague, and those details are at CatholicAnswersCruise.com, or call the Cruise Authority at 1-800-707-1634, 1-800-707-1634, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. This is going to be an absolutely delightful time, and there are only three rooms left.
Yeah, and there probably will be next time you come back.
Oh, no. Come on, Si. Bite your tongue.
Oh, sorry.
The three blessed couples whose company we need
on
this trip.
Right.
They are out there.
Amen.
And you need to join with us.
I think you should make some special promise, like that you're going to serve them breakfast in the morning or
breakfast
something.
Breakfast in bed, that's fine. Okay.
You'll
just
do that.
Just have to have a little staff to help me with that.
I'll get each one a bottle of wine or two.
But we have things to do during the day, so
it's true. Yeah. So for the end of the day.
Right.
Right. Very good.
All right.
CatholicAnswersCruise.com, 1-800-707-1634, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Sailing from Budapest on June 8th, Catholic Answers exclusive river charter on the Danube River. Okay, Si, thanks so much.
Thank you very
back
much,
Chris. Back to
work,
gentlemen.
Indeed, back to work. Father Hugh Barber is our guest this hour. Father is our chaplain and a Norbertine canon. And we go now to Charbel in Buffalo, New York, listening on 101.7 FM. Charbel, thank you for your call. You are on with Father Hugh Barber.
Hi,
Father Charbel. Hey, yeah.
Hi, yes. This is my question. I recently had gone to confession to confess like really grievous sins that I've committed over the years. I mean, I was falling away Catholic at the age of 19.
Yeah.
So what had happened was that I mean, I went to confession, but I still feel like in despair that God has, I don't feel like God has forgiven me for my sins, but I know he did, because I know through the sacrament of penance, he forgives you as long as you're sorry and you confess all sins. But I'm still feeling like despair over what I've done, like in the past, you know, for the sins committed. And I'm having trouble like moving on from them. I mean, what would you recommend to Catholics who are in this sort of like despair?
Oh, Charbel, really and truly, the reason why Jesus came to the world is for you. Right? And the more despair you feel and the more sadness and anxiety you feel about your sins, the more you belong to him. And you went to confession, you confess your sins, and you should have a complete confidence that he pardons you everything, because he can heal all of the effects of your past sins, and he can do even more for you. So, you know, really and truly, it's a normal thing. Like if you have a wound, say you've got a cut or a scar, it stays and it might remind you of the wrong you did. But our Lord looks on you with great love. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So he views you with greater pleasure and greater love because of the many grievous sins you committed. Not in spite of them, but because of them, because he came to save sinners. So you could almost say you could boast before him and say, because of my sins that I've confessed, I put all my trust in you, and I'm not going to worry about them anymore because I know of your great love for me. And if I could be there with you, I could like maybe make the point even more strongly. But let's just say you did what you were supposed to do, and our Lord, he has so much more in store for you. And the devil wants you to be sad and despairing. He doesn't want you to trust in the Lord. But let's just say you've done what for the Lord, what he wants you to do for him, which is to give him the opportunity to pardon you, which is what he loves most of all.
Charbel?
Thank you. Because, I mean, I know that I'm forgiven, but it's just that I'm afraid of the particular judgment, because I know he will judge us at the end.
Yeah, but the particular judgment, see, that's the devil will accuse you at the particular judgment, but your guardian angel and the Lord and the Blessed Mother will plead for you. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, if you've confessed your sins, you may have to have that experience of being accused by a malicious accuser. And most of us in our own inner heart, most of our sad thoughts about ourselves, they come from the evil one. And so we have a little taste of what the particular judgment is going to be. So you're very wise to point that out. But in point of fact, what we have is the Savior who, as the apostle tells us, ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our advocate. He's constantly excusing us and praying for us before the Father, as he did on the wood of the cross. So you don't have anything to worry about. Just don't sin anymore, okay? And if you do, go to confession again.
All right, thank you.
Okay, God bless you, really.
Charbel, thank you very, very much for that call. Our chaplain is Father Hugh Barber. If you have a question for him, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of our great big giant Ash Wednesday show after this.
Have a question? We've got answers.
Catholic Answers.
I love it.
Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we are going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge and become better at defending your faith. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I wasn't kidding about it being a great big Ash Wednesday show. Second hour, Rose Sweet will be here. We're going to talk about love. It's a perfect day to talk about love. And
great, yeah.
You know what? I guess every day is a perfect day to talk about love. And there's never been a bad day to have Rose Sweet around. Right, that true. Day has not.
Well, with a name like that, you know.
I know. And it's to have that as your given name, and it fits so perfectly. Yeah. Rose will be here for the second hour. Of this hour, we have Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, with us, and we're taking questions of a pastoral nature this hour. How about we go to Therese in Denver, Colorado, listening on AM 1060. Therese, you are on with Father Hugh Barber. Your question, please.
Hello. Good
Hello.
Afternoon.
Hey.
So I have been wondering prayer and how – you know, God is supposed to answer our prayers. We're called to go to Him and petition. But there's also, like, He doesn't mess with our free will. So, like, I have a son who has left the church, and I'm constantly praying for his conversion. But it is his free will. Or you pray for protection from storms or from violent situations. But it looks to me like God would have to impose on free will or his will and the way he set up the world in order to answer those prayers. So well, I was wondering if you could address that.
Yeah, sure. The prayer is principally an exercise in conforming our will to the will of God, number one. So when we pray in order to accept God's will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so but it happens to be God's will that certain things will come about because we ask for them and in no other way. That's the order of the universe. He has many laws, physical and metaphysical, that govern the universe. And one of them is the law of prayer, that when we ask for certain things, He gives them. And if we don't ask, we don't receive them. That's where our Lord says, ask and you receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened unto you. But that still does not change the fact that what God wills to give us, He will give us, and what He does not will to give us, when we ask Him for those things, we ask Him in the light of His own perfect will. And so if He doesn't will to give it to us, we accept that in humility, knowing that whatever God has in store for us is better than what we would have wanted in the first place. And it's important with prayer not to overemphasize the importance of free will. Free will is important, but it's also something that's moved and turned by God. And so I would tell you with your son to pray that God moves his will to choose God and the ways of God other than the ways of the world. But God can turn and move the human will, and so we should ask for that as well. If he can't, then we're in big trouble. So let's ask him for that. So I would say, as regards to your son, pray that God will move and soften his will in order to follow his commandments.
Okay, Therese.
Great. Thank you,
Thanks,
Father.
Thanks. God bless.
And sorry.
Thank you, Therese. And have a very blessed Lent, Therese. Father, a question posted on Facebook by Christine. She writes, fasting tends to give the impression that the body is bad and the spirit is good. Can you help me understand why this is not true?
Well, no, fasting is actually kind of a proof that the right disposition of the body is a very good thing for the soul. That is, with fasting, we're trying to remedy a disorder or an exaggeration so that our body will be able to do its job, which is to present to the soul those effects of our sense life and experience that can aid the soul in prayer and in the contemplation of God's goodness and in our desire to do his will. So I would say quite the contrary. It's not a denial of the body. It's rather a correction in view of the true value of the body, which is to serve the soul in its service of God and neighbor.
Okay. Oh, I said okay. It's a Facebook question. I'm sorry,
that's
Father.
Okay.
I lost my mind
I'm
momentarily.
I'm telling you there.
I'll be Christine. Yes,
okay.
That's okay. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I have never done that before. That's the first time I've done that. I must be flustered because Rose Sweet is here and you're here, Father. All the big wigs are here and I got flustered. Let's go to Tony in Toronto, Canada. There's a Toronto in Canada as well listening on Ave Maria Radio. Tony, you are on with Father Hugh Barber.
What a great town, Toronto. It's a wonderful place.
Hi, Father.
Hey.
Hi, Father. Hi. So my question is on church bulletins, you know, the ones, the printed copies that we get in the church. So basically there's ads at the back in the bulletin.
Uh-huh.
And this is in Toronto, St. Michael's Basilica. Like, I noticed on the web version, they don't have the ads, but on the printed one, they have the ads. And one of the ads actually has an image of, Sai God. It's a restaurant ad.
Mm-hmm.
So is this correct, or what is your comment on this?
Well, so you're saying the image of the restaurant ad has a Buddha on it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if the ad were advertising Buddhism and saying, you know, abandon Catholicism and be a Buddhist, that would be a problem. But if it's just Buddha is, after all, an historical figure, and what is it, like a Thai restaurant or something like that?
Yeah, it's a Thai.
Right. So they, if you go into the restaurant, like, I don't know, in Southern California, any Thai restaurant around here, you're going to find a little ledge with a Buddha and some incense sticks and a candle and whatnot in front of it. So that's their religion. But I would say they're probably just presenting that in order to indicate the identity of the restaurant, not to invite anyone to adopt their religion. So I wouldn't be particularly troubled by it myself. I think it's a pretty simple explanation there. If you had something in the bulletin that said, you know, we're having a parish class and we're going to teach people how to practice Buddhism, well, that would be an issue and you need to, like, bring it up to the priest. But if it's just a restaurant that's run by Buddhists and they have a picture of the Buddha, who's their most admired figure, I don't think there's any particular difficulty. Just like if we had a restaurant that was called Washington or Lincoln Restaurant, we would not say that Catholics are being forced to become Anglicans or Presbyterians
because
Washington and Lincoln were not Catholics. So I would not worry about it.
Okay, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that call. I would way rather go to a Thai food restaurant than a Washington or Lincoln. I don't know what they would be serving.
I don't know. Washington, I mean, peanut soup with like fried okra on top, it'd be very good. Yeah.
Is that what Washington ate?
Yeah, it's Virginia.
You
yeah,
know so many things. But Lincoln, what did he eat?
I don't
Hardtack
Lincoln,
or something?
Lincoln ate whatever they gave him. We don't go into Lincoln. Okay. Fine. God bless him.
Father,
now he has a great reward in heaven for all the good that he did.
Praise God.
I'm sure.
That. Yep. 888-318-7884 is our number. Let's go to, an anonymous caller. All right. Anonymous, in an anonymous location. You are on with Father Hugh Barber. Your question, please.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
Thank you for what you're doing. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
So, My father had stroke about several months ago.
I'm sorry.
And on the first stroke, he was still talking, and so he asked for a priest while he was at the hospital. We called him one for confession and anointing of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so he he had another stroke, which he left him unable to talk. So how do we, I'm not sure, we haven't thought about confession or another anointing, but I guess because of the show today, I was hearing about confession. I just, it came to my mind, like, it's been a few months now, he can't talk, so I'm not sure if he even wants confession. He probably does, but how... what's the church guideline regarding to that?
Sure, it's very simple. That is, he's able to understand what's said to him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, you know, it's very simple. The priest comes and everyone leaves the room, and the priest exhorts him to be sorry for his past sins. He may inquire about certain principal grave sins, possibly, but certainly, is he able to nod or do anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So you just leave it to the priest. The priest will come in, and he can communicate with him in the best way possible. But certainly even someone who's unconscious, if you have the general sense that they would have wanted to go to confession, then the priest, you know, recites the act of contrition so the person can hear it and then absolves them. And so there's no problem with your father going to confession at all. So I would encourage that, that the priest could come and everyone could go away and he could inquire or just give him the act of contrition and absolution. Because no one, if you're not able to confess your sins verbally, then, and you can't give any indication of your sins, then the contrition of heart, which is the real matter of the sacrament, is sufficient. So I would encourage that practice, just that the priest come and absolve him.
Does that address what you wanted addressed, Anonymous?
Oh, yes, it does. Thanks a lot.
Sure, and sure.
Very good.
Pray for him that maybe God will heal him. I guess he's...
Yeah, what's his first name?
Stephen?
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll pray for him. Yeah, for sure.
Anonymous, you should be assured, too, that when Father says he'll pray for him, he will pray for him.
I will definitely pray for him.
And we'll probably all be praying for him at Mass. We've spoken about you here before when you weren't here about how diligent you are about praying the prayers that people have asked us to pray for them. I suppose.
I learned it from... some Russian Orthodox people who were very careful always to remember all the intentions that were offered to them verbally. And I was edified by that, and I thought that was a good example of sound ecumenism. So I've always imitated them afterwards.
We have another anonymous call. Let's see if we can get this call in before the top of the hour. Anonymous in Brighton, Massachusetts, where I used to live, listening on 1060 AM. Thanks for calling from beautiful Brighton. Your question, Anonymous.
Oh, yeah, that's actually Colorado.
Oh,
Brighton, Colorado.
They wrote Massachusetts I'm not blaming anyone.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I feel confused. My question is, could Judas, the betrayer, have been forgiven or not? Because Jesus said, "Woe unto him who betrays me, it would be better for him if he had never been born." So that sounds really final.
Yeah.
But then we also hear that God's mercy has no limits. So that's always really bothered me.
Right. We simply don't know the answer to that question. But let's just say, think of it very literally. It'd be better for him if he'd never been born, which means it'd be better for him if he'd never was in the state where he could have ever committed a sin or offended God. And any one of us who's ever committed a sin, especially a grave sin or mortal sin, could say, about ourselves individually, we could say, well, it'd be better for me if I'd never existed outside the womb rather than ever to have offended God. And so we don't know what our Lord meant by that. It seems clear to us that it means that he was lost. But we can also say, for anyone that's offended God grievously, we could say, it'd be better for me if I'd never been born. That is, if I just perished in the womb and never was able to offend God. That's possible. So we should just leave it in his hands. And the mercy of God is infinite. And our Lord prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we can have confidence that his prayer is very efficacious. So maybe Judas was lost, maybe not. But we can always have that hope and confidence.
Anonymous in Brighton, Colorado, thank you very, very much for that call. Father, I feel like you and I haven't done a show for a long time together. It feels good to be back in the studio with you. Thank you. May we have your blessing before we go?
Certainly. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filius Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et mani et semper.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, a blessed Lent to you, to all of you, our listeners. Thank you for joining us today on this Ash Wednesday. Thank you for Nick for the sound, and Brandon and Kathleen for the video, and Maggie for the call screening. Why did I want to say Maggie's name out loud? First mistake she's ever made. Sorry, Maggie. A little
infallible.
We'll be right back with Rose Almost. Sweet on Catholic Answers Live. Almost.